Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you.
For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just go to GetCopperhead.com. That's GetCopperhead.com for your two free gifts with purchase. GetCopperhead.com.
Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, our great extravaganza. We are so honored to have you with us today. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling into the program. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We've got a lot of ground to cover today, and there's some interesting developments up on Capitol Hill. So Joe Biden's doctor has been summoned for a closed-door private interview with the House of Representatives. And of course, all of this happening as a result of Joe Biden's cognitive skills. The clinical term for Biden's ailment, the cheese, has done slid off the man's cracker. And we've all known this for a very, very long time. As a matter of fact, we knew it before the guy was even elected president. But anyway, things were really bad, and we now know that it was so bad that Biden wasn't even aware that he was running the White House. He wasn't even aware that he was president of the United States on some days. I mean, it really was that bad. And the stories are being told now. People are spilling the beans. You had a massive cover-up of, it's really of a biblical magnitude here. And it goes all the way from the Democrats to the White House themselves to the legacy media in this country. Everybody turned a blind eye. And the reason why is that radical leftist, and if you think, and Joe Biden's a liberal, he's not a radical leftist, but whoever was calling the shots, whoever was in control of that auto pen was in fact a radical leftist. And so anyway, they needed to, we got to get to the bottom of all of this. And we need to find out who was running this White House. We need to find out, especially from Biden's doctor, because the doctor's out there saying, oh, he's healthy as a horse, this guy. Well, we all knew that not to be the case. By the way, did you see the other day, Biden's out on the beach, and he couldn't even put together his little beach lounge chair. Terrible. It's very sad. So anyway, you've got Kevin O'Connor, who is the doctor, was Biden's doctor, and he shows up for this closed-door interview, part of the House probe into Biden's mental acuity, and he said, yep, nope, not going to testify, not going there, pleading the fifth and asserting doctor-patient privilege. So, but he did take the Fifth Amendment, he has a right not to self-incriminate. That tells me this guy is guilty as the day is long. Now, the doctor had argued, and this is from the reporting of Politico, Haley Fuchs and Kyle Cheney, the writers of this piece. Here's the statement that the doctor released on the advice of his legal counsel. Dr. O'Connor refused to answer questions that invaded the well-established legal privilege that protects confidential matters between physicians and their patients. His assertion of his right under the Fifth Amendment to decline to answer questions, also on the advice of his lawyers, was made necessary by the unique circumstances of this deposition. The statement also cited President Trump's invocation of the Fifth Amendment. But again, this has to do with the leader of the free world who may not have been in charge of his own Oval Office. Oversight Chair James Comer telling reporters that the doctor's choice to invoke the Fifth adds more fuel to the fire, that there was a cover-up. Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, it really does. Because everybody could see this. I mean, Jake Tapper wrote a book about it. Comer subpoenaed O'Connor to appear before the committee, rejecting O'Connor's claims that his duties as a doctor barred him from being able to discuss Biden's private health. In recent days, O'Connor had sought to delay the interview to continue negotiations on the terms of what he believed he could and could not divulge. The White House Tuesday night announced that it had waived executive privilege for O'Connor in an effort to compel his cooperation. So there was no reason other than the fact that he was involved in a massive cover-up, and that's why O'Connor is refusing to testify here. This is insane. So we'll see how all of this plays out. I will say this, the Republicans, they do a great job of these hearings, but normally nothing ever comes of it. According to the Oversight Committee, by pleading the Fifth, Dr. O'Connor just confirmed what we all suspected. This was a coordinated cover-up to hide the truth about Joe Biden's condition and who's really been running the show behind the scenes. This is coming from Congressman William Timmons posting that on X. And a spokesperson for the Biden office declined to comment. And I don't blame them one bit. I wouldn't be commenting on this one at all. Meanwhile, on the other side, we've got this came down late last night. The FBI now officially launching criminal investigations of John Brennan and James Comey. So the former FBI director could be in some serious hot water here. And so we're going to be following that story. You know what's interesting here? Going all the way back to, wow, what is it, 2015. And an understanding what was really going on here. When you had the power of the deep state in Washington, D.C., and what were they doing? The power of the deep state. They had this Russian dossier that they knew was not real. They knew it was a fake. There was nothing of truth. There was not a morsel of truth in this dossier. It was phony. Everybody knew it. Hillary Clinton ordered the campaign to buy the phony dossier. When you look at all of the breadcrumbs, and our good friend Greg Jarrett over at Fox has written three books about this and did a terrific job in layman's terms of laying it all out. Now, Jarrett is a well-known attorney, but he laid it all out there in layman's terms, and I'm telling you, every single breadcrumb led right back to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in the West Wing inside the Oval Office where Barack Hussein Obama appeared to be leading the charge. So understand this. You had President Barack Obama, and these are the allegations, and this is where I suspect all of this is going. And I'll explain why it's all coming out now in just a moment. But if the Justice Department is doing its job, you could very well see indictments coming down against Barack Obama and some of the high-level members of his administration and his team. I mean, this is how serious this could be. Will it be that serious? I don't know. You've got an attorney general that's auditioning for a gig on Fox News Channel. So I don't know if this is going to have her full attention. I hope it does. But by the way, the only reason all of this is coming out right now, by the way, the only reason is because it diverts immediate attention to whatever the heck happened yesterday during the cabinet meeting when you had President Trump losing it. President Trump is a man who is in control all the time, all the time. But yesterday, when a reporter asked, honestly, it was a legitimate question about Jeffrey Epstein, and he just went completely off, cut 14.
Yeah, sure.
If hey, could I just interrupt for
sure.
a second? Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talked about for years. You're asking, we have Texas, we have this, we have all of the things. Yeah. And are people still talking about this guy, this creep? That is unbelievable. Do you want to waste the time and do you feel like answering?
I don't mind answering.
I mean, I can't believe you're asking a question on Epstein at a time like this where we're having some of the greatest success and also tragedy with what happened in Texas. It just seems like a desecration, but you go ahead.
Sure. First, to back up on that, in February, I did an interview on Fox, and it's been getting a lot of attention because I said I was asked a question about the client list, and my response was, it's sitting on my desk to be reviewed, meaning the file along with the JFK, MLK files as well. That's what I meant by that. Also, to the tens of thousands of video, they turned out to be child porn downloaded by that disgusting Jeffrey Epstein. Child porn is what they were. Never going to be released, never going to see the light of day. To him being an agent, I have no knowledge about that. We can get back to you on that. And the minute missing from the video, we released the video showing definitively the video was not conclusive, but the evidence prior to it was showing he committed suicide. And what was on that, there was a minute that was off the counter. And what we learned from Bureau of Prisons was every year, every night, they redo that video. It's old, from like 1999. So every night the video is reset, and every night should have the same minute missing. So we're looking for that video to release that as well, showing that a minute is missing every night. And that's it on Epstein.
So I'm just curious, are you satisfied with the job that Pam Bondi is doing at the Justice Department right now? I know Gorka, who's a good friend of this program, and he's a personal friend as well. He's standing alongside Bongino and Kash Patel. It's interesting, they're not saying much about Bondi, and that tells me that inside the White House right now, there's a little bit of tension, and there may be a lot of tension with the job that she is doing. Because, honest to goodness, folks, this woman has appeared more on Fox News Channel than any other member of the administration, including Donald Trump. It makes no sense to me. But Bondi is out there, and maybe she's the one telling Bongino and Patel not to pursue this. I don't know. But what I do know is this, that for the president to come out and respond the way he did, yeah, Mr. President, you campaigned on this issue. And the reason why this is a big deal, it's not about the videos and it's not about all of that. Nobody wants to see that, and we don't need to. This is about very powerful people, individuals in positions of power, in government, in business, in finance, wherever they may be, who took great advantage of children, who committed heinous crimes, and those people need to be brought to justice. And you've got Ghislaine Maxwell sitting in a jail. She's been sentenced to 20 years for basically trafficking these girls, for being the madam. So if she's in trouble, if she's going to be in jail, what about all the people who abused these women and these girls? What about them? Where's the justice for those girls? But we need to know. And I'm right now, ladies and gentlemen, I am telling you right now, it certainly looks as though there are people trying to cover this up, and that it may not be the case, but it certainly looks like that. And this is where we are right now, ladies and gentlemen. And it's a very strange place to be. But what happened yesterday, and by the way, you heard Pam Bondi, and one of the things that that Bondi was talking about is that there's, to their knowledge, there's no evidence that Epstein was a foreign agent. So there are allegations out there that Epstein was actually working for the Israelis and the Mossad. And therefore, they've got all of this, They've got all of this dirt on all of these global leaders. And if, in fact, that's, I mean, she said, well, you know, we're looking into it or what. Okay, well, what does that mean? So Bondi clearly was rattled. You could hear that in her voice yesterday. There's a lot of frustration with Bondi behind the scenes over the lack of work she's doing. And so then all of a sudden, boom, yesterday evening, the big story about James Comey and Brennan drops. Now, I'm just going to say this. If we go down this path and the Justice Department determines, yeah, you know what, we didn't find any wrongdoing here, folks, I'm telling you, MAGA world is over. At that point, it'll be over. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. America doesn't need barbed wire or secret police to lose freedom. All it takes is silence. Live Not By Lies is a gripping docuseries by Angel Studios that reveals how soft totalitarianism is creeping into everyday life. Through powerful stories from people who lived under communism, it warns of what happens when we surrender truth for safety. This is a must-watch for anyone who loves faith, family, and freedom. Stream the series now, only on Angel Guild by visiting angel.com/starns. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Do you believe that Pam Bondi is doing a great job, or is she now a detriment to the Trump White House? Does she need to go? I mean, there's just a lot of anger building, and especially in MAGA world, over Pam Bondi. And again, it very well may be, and hear me on this, it very well may be that there never was a list, that there never was any untoward behavior going on at the Epstein Love Island, that all of this was a fabrication of somebody's demented, perverted imagination. It could be. But when you're Pam Bondi and you're telling people that you've got the file literally on the desk, then you wonder. You wonder what's really going on. By the way, just want to throw this out there. We still, and we're looking at, it's now July, we still have no information about the attempted assassin of the president. We have no information about that guy out of Butler, PA. We still don't have any information on who planted those pipe bombs outside of the FBI and RNC headquarters. None whatsoever. So I'm just, again, this is information they were all supposed to be giving us and providing us, but we haven't gotten any information. And many of these people built their entire careers on getting this information. Now these people are in charge, but suddenly they don't want to release anything. And you say, well, that's not really fair, Todd. No, in all seriousness, I want to go back to something Dan Bongino told his podcast audience in 2023. Quote, listen, that Jeffrey Epstein story is a big deal. Please do not let that story go. Keep your eye on this. He questioned, what the hell are they hiding with Jeffrey Epstein? What are you guys hiding? Bongino also, this is from Forbes magazine, also proliferated the conspiracy theory that Epstein is an intelligence asset for people in the Middle East. Again, that was the question that was asked. And the only reason it was asked is because Bongino made this a huge issue before he came to the FBI. Bongino questioned in the podcast whether Middle Eastern countries may have had Epstein's plane wired up, and they're the ones who have all this stuff. He suggested that the intel was being used to blackmail American power players who were Epstein's clientele. So again, I mean, was all of this made up? Was Bongino talking out the wazoo, or did he have actual evidence here? Because if he does have evidence, these are all very important questions that Bongino was bringing up. Bongino in April posted this on X. Just because you don't immediately see it doesn't mean it isn't happening. What does that mean? So it goes on and on and on, and it's not just Bongino, it's Patel. And it's a great big mess, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't think it's going away. I really don't. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. You know, Mike has a passion to help everybody get the best sleep of their life, and he didn't stop by creating the best pillow. He also created the best bed sheets ever. Mike is offering the best deal on his Percale bed sheets. You can get a set for as low as $24.98. The MyPillow Percale bed sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They have deep pockets to fit over any mattress. They look great, they feel great, and that means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Also, for a limited time, when you order over $100 worth of merch, you're going to get $100 in free digital gifts. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS to receive the MyPillow Percale sheets for as low as $24.98. Order now or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS. All right. Thank you, by the way. Folks, beginning to post the reviews of the brand new book, Star Spangled Blessings, over on Amazon. And we really appreciate you guys taking the time to do that. Again, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. You can get it right now on audiobook, Kindle, and hardcover. And it's a pretty good discount. Still, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, you can still get it for a much cheaper price over at Walmart. But again, we're just trying to help you. I want you to read the book, and I want you to get a good deal too. So yeah, this, you said, well, Todd, shouldn't you be charging more? Well, yes, but that's not the point. I want you guys to read the book. So it's $17.08 over at Amazon. But again, I think you can get it cheaper over at Walmart. All right. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We have an update to this story, and I have a bee in my bonnet over this, only because I happen to be a big fan of the original Superman comic books and the incredible story of the two guys who created this iconic American hero. And I see Superman not just as a comic book character, but just like baseball and football and apple pie. I see this as really part of the fabric, the traditions of America, the Boy Scouts, for example. And whenever I see our traditions coming under attack, I get bothered by that. And so the new Superman movie is coming out this weekend. The reviews are already starting to appear as well. And it's not going good for the Man of Steel, and predominantly because the director is a woke Trump hater. This guy is James Gunn is his name, and he is doubling down on the attacks coming from conservatives who say, well, look, this is not a film that is friendly to the origins of the Superman character. And quite frankly, it's an anti-Trump film. So the folks over on The Five last night were talking about this. And I want to play a little bit of that audio. Cut number 12, please.
Is Superman super woke? James Gunn, the director of the latest reboot movie, said, quote, Superman is the story of America, an immigrant that came from other places and populated the country. But for me, it is mostly a story that says basic human kindness is a value and is something we have lost. Craig, do you think that's what Superman is all about?
Well, for one thing, it's a terrible analogy. I mean, with Superman, they are sending your best. You know, that's not escalator material. James Gunn nearly lost his job, career. He was fired after Van Earthed tweets containing pedophile jokes. So he was like banished, canceled. This is his way back. Mm. He's creating a moat of woke, enlightened opinion around him. A lot of Me Too suspects do that. James Franco did it. Harvey Weinstein donated a lot to Democrats because he was running around sexually assaulting people. So this is what you do.
He's got a woke shield.
He's got a woke shield.
A woke moat.
Yeah.
Dana?
Well, I think that I'm at no risk of hurting my 22-year streak of not going to the movie theater.
Damn.
22 years?
Well, that's when I said it the other day on the show, Greg calculated correctly. It had been 22 years.
22 yeah. years, yeah.
I got to look at the script. And he's from Uganda.
And there's a love scene with Batman and Robin.
Wow.
Oh, a throuple.
A guy I know in Hollywood gave it to me. Callie, big movie producer.
I think the big tell is the actual actor. His name is David Cornsweet, and he said, I guess he didn't change it to a better stage name. He found himself unable to say Superman's slogan, quote, truth, fighting for truth, justice in the American way. He said, truth, justice, and all those good things. Aww. He refused to say the American way, and he's playing Superman.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Cornsweet, who is the actor portraying Superman, telling CBS News that he decided to ditch the traditional truth, justice, and the American way for something more inclusive. So he came up with truth, justice, and all those other things. And so now James Gunn is coming out, and he's the director, and he's saying, hey, look, yeah, this is about politics, and this is a pro-immigration movie, and if you got a problem with that, screw you. That's what he said. He was telling the Superman fans to go screw themselves. Who does that? Are you kidding me, sir? Anyway, they're not concerned. You know what? They're not concerned about it. They think people are going to go see this movie regardless. But I'm telling you, when you look at Hollywood and the decline of Hollywood, it's not good. And the reason why, I think a lot of people, first of all, they don't want to pay all that money to go to a theater to be lectured to, right? We don't, when you go and you're eating your popcorn and you're enjoying your Milk Duds and you're a giant Dr. Pepper, the 2-gallon Dr. Pepper you purchase, You're there to have a good time. You don't want to learn about preferred pronouns. I mean, I'm serious about that, right? I mean, I know I certainly don't. So anyway, it's ramping up now. And here's the thing. It's not that MAGA people are anti-immigrant. Nobody here is anti-immigrant. As a matter of fact, we are pro-immigration. We are pro-legal immigration. I got no problem with Superman, and you want to know why? I get it. He comes from a different planet, but the guy's not an MS-13 gangbanger. He's not mooching off the American taxpayers. He's not sex trafficking. As far as I know, the guy speaks English and has a job. We like those kinds of immigrants, right? So we're not opposed to immigration. We celebrate people who want to come to this country the legal way. We just have a problem with the drug cartels and the terrorists who want to blow us all to kingdom come. That's all. That's all. But again, it's not the first time they've done this to Superman. Back in, 06, they rewrote it from truth, justice in the American way to truth, justice, and all that other stuff. And then, what is it, last year, they had they turned Superman gay, and he was making out with some dude on the cover of a comic book while he was protesting and standing up to ICE agents and battling climate change. That particular version of Superman went belly up, so they had to cancel it all. So anyway, now you've got this full-blown war going on out there, and even a lot of the critics are weighing in and like, you know, it's just not all that good of a movie. I mean, they're giving it a C+. So I hate it, but this is what happens. Once you go woke, you go broke. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to bring to your attention a very interesting story I read this morning in the Wall Street Journal. So we're getting ready for the show. The editorial board has done a review on Skrull discipline. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Skrull discipline is making a comeback. According to the Wall Street Journal editorial board, states are starting to remove more unruly students from schools, and the Trump administration is getting out of the way. According to this report, discipline policy in K-12 public schools rode the progressive tide on race and crime in recent years, as the feds and states pushed therapy over suspensions and expulsions. But classroom behavior has surged since the COVID lockdowns, and some states are responding with changes that benefit teachers and students. You folks in Texas passed a bill that makes it easier for teachers to remove unruly students from classrooms and also extends the allowable time for in-school suspensions. You are suspended, sir, for 3 years. I like that. Again, according to the Texas Tribune, removing students for any unruly, disruptive, or abusive behavior could help prevent such escalation. Arkansas passing a similar law that would remove students who are violent. Washington State, they're finalizing rules that would loosen restrictions on removing, suspending, or expelling students. Other states are doing the same thing, Louisiana, Nevada as well. I think this is all very terrific news. However, now this goes all the way back to the Obama administration. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't think any of us truly appreciate or understand what evil happened during this man's 2 terms in office. Barack Obama is a very bad human being. He's a very bad man. He's a dangerous man. And I think he's ultimately behind what's happening right now in New York City with the mayor's race. This guy, Obama, wanted to fundamentally change America. One of the ways he did that was inside the nation's public school system. And they encouraged districts to ease up on discipline. And instead, they emphasized positive interventions over student removal. In other words, oh, little Billy just needs a hug. So little Billy is stabbing the lunch lady, but under the Obama rules, little Billy just needs a hug and maybe a Ginsu. According to a 2014 guidance letter, Obama warned of racial disparities in traditional discipline. In 2023, the Biden Education Department advocated listening and healing. Now, Billy, why did you stab the lunch lady? She didn't give me extra French fries. Well, that's understandable, Billy. Good for you. You deserve extra French fries, Billy. So anyway, they're also warning, Biden also warned that the expulsions would disproportionately affect students of color. And so then, guess what happened? You got chaos in the classroom. And I feel so bad for these teachers. They're out there trying to do their jobs and come home alive. Did you ever imagine that? You wanna become a teacher? And you could very well lose your life or have the living daylights beaten out of you in the classrooms because of these Obama and Biden policies and procedures. So now many states are beginning to realize, oh, wait a second, we really do need to re-implement corporal punishment. And that's what I would recommend, ladies and gentlemen. I think we need to bring back the paddles, and there can be some sort of a policy. I know some of you out there, how dare you lay a hand on my sweet little precious angel? Ma'am, you raised the spawn of Satan, and we're about to beat Satan out of him. That's what we used to do back in the day. Back when we were in school in the 1970s, that's right, they beat the living daylights out of you, and then you got it twice as bad when you got home, because that's how we rolled. And this, once again, is why Gen Xers are the strongest, toughest generation out there. But it's true. So, but I know there are a lot of people out there, we can't be doing corporal punishment with paddles on the buttocks. We just can't do that. Who do you think you are? Well, okay. If you don't do that, you get what's happening right now in our public schools. And you've seen it. You've seen the videos on TikTok. It's a war zone out there. I mean, I've never seen it. It's unbelievable. And the poor teachers are like, we don't know what to do. Because if the teachers say something, they get in trouble. If the teachers try and intervene, they get in trouble. If the teachers don't do anything, they get in trouble. I feel, out of all the people here, I feel bad for the teachers. Because ultimately, here's what's happening. You parents aren't doing your job. That's the issue here. You're sending your child who has not been disciplined, you're sending them to these public schools, and all of a sudden, they become these animals. Stop raising your kids to be like pumas. Raise them to be human beings, for crying out loud. I'm just saying. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, how do you feel about this this Wall Street Journal report here that many public schools around the nation are now re-implementing discipline? And how far for that? How far should the discipline go? I say bring back the panels. And I'm not talking about the little tiny pine. I'm talking about the wooden panels or paddles or the fiberglass paddles with the holes drilled in so there's not an air cushion. I think we've got to put the fear of God back in public schools. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Get more than you expect with the $5 meal deal, part of new McValue. Five gets you a McDouble or McChicken and a small fry and a small drink and a four-piece McNuggets. Woo! New McValue at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for limited time only.
All right, coming up, Edward Graham is going to be joining us from Samaritan's Purse. They are boots on the ground in Texas. Also, Liz Peek from Fox News will drop by her latest column. Let's go to the phone line. So 901-260-5926. Do you believe it's time to reinstate corporal punishment in our public schools? Let's go to Angie in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Angie. What say you?
Hey, Todd. I'm glad you're doing good, honey. God bless America. I'm going to get green for this, and my apologies. Not only do we need to bring paddles back in schools, but we need to hold all the parents accountable, make a little extra building for the parents to get their butt whooped too. And here's the thing. When you raise children and you want children, but you have to work, and I get it because I was a working mother, but I still raised my kids. When you have a baby and you go back to work in 8 weeks, they go to daycare until school starts. And then when school starts, they stay in school and from 7 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You eat dinner with them and you go to bed. So who's really raising your kids?
It's a fair question. Angie, I like this idea. So you're saying we need to beat the living daylights out of mom and dad, too.
Yes, we do. It all starts at home.
I don't have a problem with that, actually. I like this idea. Now, look, here's how it used to be, Angie. Back when I was, I got paddled once, and here's how, I'll never forget this. I was like in second grade, but the principal picked up the phone and said, Mrs. Starnes, we need you to know Todd's been a bad boy, and he's going to have to be paddled. We can either do it or you can come up here and you can do it. And she said, you take care of it, and I'll take care of it when he gets home.
And, Todd, I had the same thing at Sharp Elementary. I grew up in Memphis. I went to Sharp Elementary. Miss Steckings was my teacher. I got caught chewing gum and talking in the second grade. They didn't call my mom, but my mom signed that piece of paper saying if she does anything wrong, beat her butt.
That's it. And I'll tell you what, we both turned out pretty darn good, didn't we, Angie?
I'm not psycho. And I know you're not because I listen to you every day.
Well, depends on what day, yeah.
I've got 8 grandkids, and my grandkids are all raised by the hand.
Wow. Good for you. Good for you. And, Angie, I bet they love you to death. And, again, it's just a matter of you've got to have boundaries. You've got to have rules.
Yep. And I think the parents need their 2 little buildings for when their kids get called. They need to get a butt whooping, too. That's all I'm saying.
All right, Angie, thank you for calling in. Ladies and gentlemen, Angie from Georgia has a rather interesting idea. Not only should the spawns of Satan get punished, but so should mommy and daddy. And, you know, the reality here is you've just got a lot of parents, and they're single parents now. There's nobody's paying attention to the kids. Nobody's raising the kids. And I think, you know, especially in some of the larger cities. And we've got that problem in Memphis. And this is why it is such a dangerous thing. Instead of addressing the single parent households and the moms that are just going out there and having babies to get welfare checks, instead of addressing that, we're just encouraging people to turn a blind eye to the violence. And that is incredibly dangerous. All right, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls, I promise you. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hour 2 of the big show coming up. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Dr. India Woods here. As a veterinarian, I demand a lot of my scrubs on the job. That's why, whether I'm at the clinic or visiting a four-legged friend out in the field, I show up in Figs. Figs are made for the sometimes crazy situations I find myself in. It doesn't matter if I have to squat, sit, bend, or even chase after one of my patients. Figs moves with me and keeps me comfortable in the highest pressure situations. Figs are designed specifically for healthcare professionals and have a lot of pockets and zip compartments that never snag, so I can carry a ton of necessities like treats, gloves, instruments, and more. Figs are also liquid repellent and never fade after the wash. One of the best moments is taking a fresh pair out of the dryer before a long shift. As a vet, I spend a lot of my time worrying about my patients and the people who love them, and it's not always easy. Figs gives me one less thing to worry about and even help me feel a little more confident on the job. If my patients could talk, they'd tell you to hurry up and get some Figs. Show up in Figs. Get 15% off your first order by visiting wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
You know, we have been following the developments coming out of the Texas Hill Country ever since the weekend, and we have extensive coverage on our website, toddstearns.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, Hour 2. The last count, more than 109 people confirmed killed. There are more than 160 people still missing. And, of course, just the tragedy upon tragedy and just horror story upon horror story. But what happened at Camp Mystic is just unbearable. And just a few moments ago, we're working with a local person there who's a public relations team. They own a public relations company, and they've been sending us these stories that the parents have asked to send along. We've told our team, you know what, we're not bothering the families. They need time to grieve, and if they want to talk, we're happy to talk to them. If they want to share a statement, we're happy to post that statement and photograph. And I just got another one in the email just a few moments before we started this hour. And the family of Mary Kate Jacoby, she's 8 years old from Houston, Texas. And here's what the parents wrote in the statement, and we're posting this on our website. Our precious angel baby has entered the gates of heaven. Mary Kate was the light of our lives. She was tiny but mighty, full of love and joy, with a smile that melted your heart. Mary Kate, our sissy, was the baby of our large family and was most certainly our angel on earth. We are utterly shattered and forever changed by the loss of our girl. Please know we truly appreciate the prayers and support so lovingly expressed by so many. We sincerely thank you for respecting our family's privacy as we process the unthinkable. So that coming from the Jacoby family of Houston, Texas, just within the past 2 or 3 minutes. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend from Samaritan's Purse. They are boots on the ground in the Texas Hill Country. Edward Graham joins us. Edward, good to have you with us today. Tell us where you are and what you see around you right now.
Hey, Todd. Well, thank you for having us. I appreciate it. Actually, I got in late last night. I was down in Texas. I've actually come back to have some other meetings, and I'm probably going back down tomorrow night. But my teams are on the ground, both in there in Kerr County, but we're in Kerrville, and then we're also a little further up river at St. Angelo. You've already talked about the human loss. The stories there break your heart. So much loss, especially with young children. But think of this as almost like a tornado disaster. And when I say that, it's all pretty much localized along the river. And the level, they're used to flash floods there. They have them all the time, just the way the soil, the rocks, and the rivers work. And this is a natural funneling of that rainwater, but not to this level. It was unbelievable how high the water came, and then the damage done. Talking to homeowners there, the survivors, you know, they were sleeping in their beds because this happened early in the morning, and they didn't, you know, there's no way it moved so quick that alarms, I don't think, would have worked anyways. All of a sudden, they felt their beds floating. That's how quick it came up, and they're not even close to the river. These people won't even have flood insurance because they're so high and so far away from the river, you wouldn't think it's needed. And we had these survivors that floated out of their beds, get out and start grabbing their elderly neighbors and putting them in kayaks and trying to get them to higher ground. And to be honest, I think it's a miracle that more weren't lost. But that what I did see is typical of Texas. Yes, our volunteers are already out there working. We had teams out yesterday. But I saw neighbors helping neighbors, people with skid steers, excavators. They're already out loving their neighbors and trying to get people homes dried out, get debris removed. It makes you proud of Americans, how they love their neighbors and get out and start working.
Edward, what is it that people need? What are the immediate needs, and how can people help through Samaritan's Purse?
Yeah, the immediate need is prayer. With all this loss and devastation, and I appreciate you talking about giving the families the space and time they need to grieve. I think people have great intentions and want to help be available, and when they can reach out, those ministries that are there, those churches that are there, equip those local churches. You got to think, a lot of these, it's a big camp area. There's a lot of camps along the river, and these camps represent a lot of different churches throughout Texas. These churches are going to need help and resources, I think, for the long term. So be praying for that. But I'm a firm believer in the power of prayer. You know, for us, there's a lot of attention right now, and I greatly appreciate you highlighting this and putting it on your program. But we need attention for months from now. Eventually, the cameras will leave. I see it every disaster. It's happened here in North Carolina with Helene. It happened in Mayfield, Kentucky after tornado. It happens everywhere. There is great intent, attention. Then life goes on for everyone else, but for that storm victim, for those that have, it does not. And they wonder if they got forgot about or forsaken. And that's why Samaritan's Purse, we stay. So we need more day volunteers coming out from the local Texas area. We've had a lot of people sign up and on for overnight spots, but I need people willing, committed to go down there for weeks to come. You know, a couple weeks from now, maybe you're looking off in August or September, you see a weekend, go sign up for that. And come, and so you can be a part of what you're hearing about now. You can be part of the long-term solution, letting this community know they're not forgotten, they're not forsaken. Matter of fact, they're loved so much that Jesus Christ was sent to this earth, God's only Son. He died on the cross. That's how much God loves you. And just pray for these families that are going to be grieving, and that they won't see an end to this grief anytime soon.
Edward Graham is joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and I do want to share a little bit of breaking news. This just coming out, and again, Edward, it's like every press briefing, it's just more horrible news. The death toll now more than 119 people, and the number of missing now going up to a little over 170 people missing there. So just a horrible tragedy. And, you know, it's I want to talk about, there's a spiritual component about this. We've been getting so many questions, Edward, about, you know, and the atheist organization, Freedom From Religion, found they're all upset because of the day of prayer. And they said, you know, if you're going to pray to God, how could God allow something like this to happen? And I think a lot of people, you know, I think that's even a fair question. If you're not a person of faith, you step back and you wonder, how could God allow something like this to happen?
Yeah. And you know what? And I hear people, they mock hopes and prayers. You know, when you hear the people say, well, our hopes and prayers, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Well, I'm here to tell you that prayer does work. Scripture says that God hears our prayers and answers accordingly. I don't understand God's plan in life. Here's a God that loved us so much that he allowed his only son to die on a cross. We don't comprehend that in the human mind. I love a stranger. I'm willing to go and share the gospel with them. But do I love that stranger enough that I would sacrifice my own life? Mm. Yeah, I did that in combat. I watched my own Rangers and Special Operations guys, you know, sacrifice their lives, unfortunately. But would I sacrifice the life of my son for a stranger? And I have to be honest, the answer is no. I love my son so much that I'm not going to give. I may give my own life, but not my son's life. And I think about that, and a God that loves us so much, that's why prayer works. He will hear our prayers for these families. And we need to ask that the love of the church come around these families, that they don't feel forsaken and forgotten. And many of these are, it sounds like they're families of faith, because there's a lot of Christian camps down there. There was more bodies recovered while I was there even yesterday. And I think for some, they don't realize how many people were actually not summer camps, but campsites. People camp along this river. And that's why the governor's numbers, I think, have gone up. They've realized there's more people down there camping. Families realize people aren't answering their cell phones now, and they wonder where their loved ones were. Well, they were out there vacationing. And we may never know the true numbers, but God hears our prayers. So I ask right now, all your listeners, be praying for Texas. They need it. They're grieving. This human loss is unbelievable. In such a small area, such a small narrow corridor, how many people in that area lost their lives. And I just ask your listeners to lift up Texas and the first responders. Think of those first responders that are out there working. They were there when I was there in the heat. And then when they find a small child, those are memories that aren't easily removed. They'll be with them for life. And no one wants to find a small child. And my heart breaks for them that they'd learn how to surrender those thoughts and those memories and put them at the foot of the cross.
And, you know, Edward, you're right. I can't even begin to imagine those first responders who are searching. And when they do find, you know, someone who's lost their life, you talk about counseling and, you know, those first responders need our prayers just as much as the victims and their families. And one of the things I see, and folks, I would encourage you to go check out SamaritansPurse.org. That's SamaritansPurse.org. I see just dozens of people, volunteers from Samaritan's Purse, gathered in a circle in a church parking lot there in Kerrville, again, praying, holding hands and praying. And you're right, there is mighty power in prayer.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm here today because of the power of prayer, and I've seen miracles. Again, I don't understand why God allows certain things to happen, but I always remember that he did give his only son. And that's a love for his people that I don't understand, but I accept by faith that every word of Scripture is true. And that's what I hold on to. And that's what it says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct our paths. We can't lean on our own understanding. And for the atheists, and I know the organization you're talking about, they were no friend to the military, you know, when I was in, and people be able to practice their own faith in the military. They hate truth. And so I believe every word of it to be true, but all I can do, and no one down there that's lost a loved one, do they really want to even hear from me? You're there to listen. You're also there to love and serve and be able to fix maybe their material things. But we have our chaplains that go from the Billy Graham Rapid Response Teams and Chaplain Corps, and they're part of what we do at Samaritan's Purse. And they have been trained and they're credentialed to go behind the lines and go with law enforcement. And they were there at the reunification site when the buses showed up, and those campers got off and were reunified with the parents, but they were also there for the parents where the kids didn't come off the bus. And they're there to grieve with, to listen, solely just to listen, and then to pray with. That is really all you can do. No words will truly bring comfort during a time like this. And my heart just breaks for those parents that sat there and waited for the child to come off the bus, and it didn't happen.
Mm. Edward, we're going to leave it there. And again, it is a great tragedy, but there's an opportunity for all of us across the nation to serve and to help. We can pray. Every single person can pray. But folks, you can also donate or even volunteer. And Edward, SamaritansPurse.org, that's sort of ground zero for getting involved and getting engaged.
Well, thank you, Todd. I appreciate you keeping the story out there. But again, just encourage prayers. That's what Texas needs the most right now.
Amen. All right, Edward Graham, everybody, from Samaritan's Purse, and they have opened a second relief site. There's the one in Kerrville. There's one in San Angelo, Texas, in Tom Green County, and all of that information, again, is on the website, SamaritansPurse.org. We are huge supporters of the great work they do, and a lot of people like to give to a lot of charities. We always direct people to support Samaritan's Purse because we know that the money is going to the right place and it's being used appropriately, and that is a very, very important thing. Coming up tonight, 5 o'clock on Newsmax, we will have more coverage of what's happening in Texas. Speaking of Newsmax, if you haven't heard, you need to be joining our news revolution. We are now the fourth highest rated news channel just behind CNN. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in America. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for incredible programming. And we also want to encourage you to download our free Newsmax app on your smartphone or TV and start watching today. President Trump, he's one of our viewers and he loves Newsmax. Also, I want to encourage you to get involved in the New York Stock Exchange and check out our Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange. You can find that information at NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. All right, here's the deal. Going to break. When we come back, your calls, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
All right, welcome back, everybody. So in the last hour of the show, we shared the story from the Wall Street Journal where a number of states are now beginning to implement harsher discipline in public schools, which led to my recommendation that they bring back corporal punishment. Let's go to the phones here, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. John in Georgia. Hey, John, what say you?
Todd, it's a pleasure speaking with you.
Well, thank you.
I was going to say, when I went to school, sixth grade was still in elementary school, and I had a teacher that was 6'5", ex-basketball player, and he paddled me over 30 times that year.
Wow.
But to this day, he is still my favorite teacher when I think back about my days in school. I just really loved him. He was a great teacher. And he paddled me when I deserved it. So,
well, I'm just curious, John. It sounded like you were a rascal.
Yeah, I was a little bit of a rascal, I guess. But I also wanted to tell you that I've always said, I think I'm a little bit older than you, but I don't claim to be Christian, but I've always said that when they took prayer and corporal punishment out of the public schools, that was going to kill the public schools. It was going to ruin them. And it has. I have no faith in the public education system at all anymore.
John, I don't think any of us do. And that's got to get fixed. Otherwise, we're not going to have a country. And when you look at, just take a good long look at what's happening in New York City right now, those people that are voting for this communist up there, Mamdani, they're voting for that guy because they were brainwashed in their public education system. And that's going to start happening all over this country.
That's for sure. It's terrible. I feel sorry for my grandkids.
Yeah. Well, we can still fix it. We've got to, again, commit to fixing it. John, appreciate the call. Let's go to Doug in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Doug. What say you?
Well, I'll tell you what they need, sir. First of all, I love what you're doing. If you know, it's people like you, social media, radio, that's going to swap the legacy media because you all are putting out the message. I got a list of 12 YouTube video people with over 1 million followers, and every day they tell us how bad the Democrats are, and rightfully so, and they back it up. But here's what I'm saying. We need a schedule of fines. Your kid does this in class, $100 fine. Your kid does this, $500. Your kid gets into a fight, your kid brings a weapon, $2,000. If we put money fines on, just like with traffic, just like your kid's speeding in school, you're going to pay for it. And I think that would really get a lot of parents involved.
Oh,
and, a lot of Democrats are going to go, oh, my goodness. Well, this is a hardship for the poor people, and it's the poor people's kids who are crazy. Hey, cash a welfare check and pay off your kid's fine because your kid's out of his mind.
Oh, so. Wow. Hey, Doug, you're going to want to stick around. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about welfare, an insane story. It's going to blow your mind. So Doug says we need to start finding the parents of these little spawns of Satan. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
The president was very, very kind to him. And Elon had so much to offer us. He knew things we didn't know. He knew people and technologies that we didn't know. It was a great thing when it was a great thing. And I had a very troublesome ending.
Why do you think that happened?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't know. I know that what has been said doesn't ring accurate to me, but I don't know. I enjoyed working with Elon. I think he's a fascinating person and sees the world differently. And I think that's probably what the president saw too, just a little bit different than the average Joe. But certainly came to not a good ending.
Yeah, the president seemed to be very interested in him. I mean, he would spend a long time, you know, at dinners and things talking to him closely. Obviously, there was something there, but...
Well, he's the world's richest man, might be the world's smartest man, honestly.
Yeah.
And he does have a quirky, my word, approach to the way he views virtually everything, but certainly business and organizations and government. And insight into people that were really important, I think, in the very early days, particularly during transition.
And do you think he got, I don't know, jealous of, because he wasn't getting Donald Trump's full attention, or was it something else?
No, that doesn't sound like Elon. I don't know. I don't know.
All right. That was Susie Wiles sitting down for an interview talking about Elon Musk. Of course, Elon just enraged over the one big, beautiful bill. Elon now starting his own political party. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our next guest has been writing about this over at foxnews.com, our good friend Liz Peek. Liz, good to have you with us today.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm delighted to join you.
You know, it's you and I actually had the same first initial thought about Elon. A lot of people are trying to dismiss this, but the way he's going to go about creating this party could in fact cause trouble for the Republicans.
No question. First of all, let's start with the fact that his bankroll is pretty significant, right? I mean, he's got hundreds of millions of dollars that he can spend on races where, frankly, $100,000 makes a big difference sometimes. So, yeah, I mean, he's talking about targeting 7 or 8 swing states, swing district seats in the House, maybe 2 or 3 Senate seats, seats where the margin of victory is pretty narrow and that, you know, money could make a difference. I think the problem, Todd, is what then? So let's suppose he puts up some candidates and he gets some people into these slots. What do those candidates represent? Who are they going to work with in Congress? I mean, it's a little hard to be the lone wolf. You don't get much done. Look at Bernie Sanders. I mean, yes, he's a big-time name, but the reality is his legislative accomplishments are zero. I disagree with Susie Wiles. I think that Elon Musk is hurt. I think he had tremendous affection for Donald Trump. He spent gazillions of dollars to get Donald Trump elected. He spent time and effort, blood and treasure in the White House working to set up the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE. And what does he have to show for it? His business was trashed by liberal Democrats who hated what he was doing. His cars became unpopular. His dealerships were firebombed. It cost him a huge amount of money. And then after all that, he turns around and this big, beautiful bill basically takes away the tax credits that made electric vehicles more competitive price-wise and that really kind of was important to Tesla's future. So if I were Elon Musk, I would feel somewhat aggrieved too, because he sacrificed a lot, including his reputation, to help Donald Trump and his administration. So, you know, what should Trump have done? I don't know, because getting rid of what they call the green scam was obviously central to, you know, basically receiving a lot of money that Democrats were spending on these things. I don't think that EVs are very popular, nor the tax credits very popular. But the reality is he should have done, he should have seen this coming, because Elon Musk is a pretty significant ally and also a pretty significant enemy.
And you also point out in your column, though, that the President Trump needs to tone it down as well. He doesn't need to be going out of his way to attack Elon.
Yeah, and I think he actually, if you look at the comments made by the two, I think he has been the grown-up in the room. Elon Musk is pretty volatile. I mean, this whole obsession with Jeffrey Epstein, I think even, you know, Musk fans are kind of like, okay, really? Have you seen this Epstein information about a client list or whatever? If you have, and you're kind of out there on Twitter or X suggesting that you have seen it, tell us about that. I mean, how did you access that? What is it? Is it really a client list? Is it a list of contacts on Epstein's phone? I mean, who knows, right? But it's a little much to keep kind of dredging that up and suggesting that Trump was in close cahoots with Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, Todd, we know that Trump flew on the plane. We also know he never went to the island. And if anyone out there thinks that Democrats, liberals, whoever, have access to information that would undermine Donald Trump associated with Jeffrey Epstein and they're not using it, come on. I mean, they've thrown everything in the world at Donald Trump. I don't think they'd hesitate to throw that at him, too.
Oh, absolutely. Again, that information, if Trump had been on the list, that would have come out a long time ago.
I think so, right? But, I mean, my gosh, you know, Twitter is full of, oh, my gosh, you know, everybody's trying to suppress this. I don't know what happened to this so-called list. Yes, I think it's deplorable, everything that happened, but I just think Musk has gone overboard on this.
And again, you know, the people, I think the challenge here for President Trump is the three people that he put in charge over at the DOJ and the FBI pretty much built their entire, you know, influence platforms on this idea that, you know, Elon had a list, or that Epstein had a list, and very powerful people. And all of a sudden they're saying, oh, well, yeah, none of that was true. And also, you know, Epstein, turns out he really did kill himself, you know, and that's,
right.
I think that's what's really set off MAGA world here. And I don't know. Will they be able to move on? I don't know, Liz. I don't know.
Well, I think it's a good question. And I agree. The whole thing has been sort of stupidly handled. And I don't know. I don't know how Pam Bondi goes from having it on her desk to know it never really existed. So they're going to have to figure that out. But, you know, this should not be the obsession of Elon Musk or Donald Trump or Pam Bondi or anybody else. Yes, Jeffrey Epstein was a loathsome individual. He hurt a lot of young women in particular, obviously. I think we'll move on from it, but it's not a great thing, without a doubt.
Well, Liz Peek, join us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, and she's got a terrific column up about Elon Musk and this third party. You know, going back, and Liz, I know that people love to, you know, they have these grandiose visions of a third political party, but just look what happened in 92. Where you, Ross Perot, I think if Ross would have stayed in the game and hadn't gone squirrely on us, he very well could have ended up maybe winning. I mean, he was really doing gangbusters. And then, of course, it all fell apart. And we ended up with Bill Clinton, who did not win with anywhere near a majority of the vote.
Yeah, no, it's true. Third parties can be spoilers for sure. And particularly these days when elections are often decided by tens of thousands of votes, weird things can happen, right? H. Ross Perot, to do as well as he did, I think it was 16% of the vote he got the first time round, which, by the way, was before he founded that Reform Party. The next time when he ran, he only got 6%. I think people had kind of soured on the potential. But look, Mike Bloomberg, when he was casting around sort of hoping to run as president and flopping out of the Democratic primary process, he looked into, he spent a lot of money doing polling and research on a third party candidacy, and he basically concluded it was simply impossible. And knowing Mike a little bit, I don't think that was a reflection of humility on his part or modesty. I think just the way our system is set up makes it incredibly hard. That's for the presidency, though. I mean, what Musk is talking about, again, this targeting of seats, you know, that could happen.
It could. It's going to be fascinating, and especially if he, you know, the threat is he's going to do it in 2026. And again, that could throw a wrench into things. We'll see how that
sure
goes.
Could. Yeah, sure could. I mean, the question, Todd, is does he really want Democrats in control? Has he forgotten how they treated him? They sued him. They investigated every one of his businesses. They hate him. So, you know, is that really the goal here? I don't think so.
I don't know. Yeah, I just don't know what the guy's thinking. That's what gets me. I'm not even sure if he is right now. And I think this is all based on emotion. And I think you've got a point. I think there are a lot of hurt feelings here.
Yeah. It's pretty normal human behavior, right? If you've done a lot for somebody, you kind of expect something in return.
Exactly.
It's not rocket science.
No, it is not. All right. You know what? We need to get Dr. Phil. We can do a primetime special and we can work this out.
So. I think so.
Hug it out, guys. Hug it out. All right.
Exactly.
Liz, great column. Always good having you on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for talking to me. I appreciate it.
All right. The great Liz Peek, everybody. Go read her work over at Fox News. All right, we've got to take a quick break, by the way. 901-260-5926. Hey, don't forget, head over right now and get your copy of my brand new book called Star-Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. You are going to absolutely, absolutely love it. By the way, you know what else I love? Balance of Nature. Take it every single morning, and you should as well. You know, a lot of times when you go to the grocery store and you're looking at the ingredients, I've been doing that because of RFK Jr. and the MAHA movement, and I want to know what I'm eating. So trying to eat a little bit better, try to lose a little bit of weight, and that's why I take Balance of Nature, because every single ingredient is a fruit or vegetable. That's it. No additives, no artificial colors, no fillers, just fruit and veggies. Gluten-free, vegan-friendly, if that's your jam. Look, these ingredients are harvested, then they're freeze-dried into this really cool fine powder. They use an advanced vacuum cold process, and that way they're able to preserve all the nutritional value, which is pretty awesome. I can say with absolute confidence, ladies and gentlemen, every day, yours truly, I'm getting 31 ingredients from fruits and veggies every single day with Balance of Nature. Just imagine, I mean, could you imagine a big old platter with 31 different fruits and veggies? No, you're not going to have time to eat all that, but you can take it in pill form, which is what I do. So I want you to join me in taking Balance of Nature. Here's the deal. They want to give you 40% off. That's huge. 40% off. Got to use my discount code Todd. You're going to get free shipping and 40% off this week only. This week only. Got to use my discount code Todd. Give them a call, 1-800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Use discount code Todd. You can also order online, balanceofnature.com. Use discount code Todd. You're going to get 40% off this week only. All right, welcome back, everybody. And coming up in the next hour, we have a crazy story, just a crazy story about welfare in this country. Do you realize that one out of every three Americans is on some form of government assistance? It is insanity, just insanity. And now California has passed a law that would allow people to use their EBT cards at fast food restaurants. Cut number three.
Nah, this is jokes. Not that the EBT card is accepted here now for McDonald's. When did you guys collab? I didn't even know they did this. Nah, this is jokes. This is really hilarious. Like, I don't have an EBT card, but whoever has an EBT card, you can now use it in McDonald's. Like, that's really hilarious and crazy. I love it at the same time. Like, this is new, because this was not here at all, actually. So, yeah, this is hilarious. Now accepting EBT. What the f***? Good for them. But also, like, we know what you're up to. Like, that's crazy. EBT for this, but, like, they need to EBT for everybody. The f***?
So I'm just curious about something here, and some of the stories we're going to share with you in the next hour are just going to blow your mind. But you've got a bunch of people that are just lazy. They're going out there, they're popping out all these kids, they're getting all these government checks. One woman's actually getting $3,000 to $4,000 a month in food stamps, and there are videos of this woman. She's posting these on social media with her and her kids in the grocery stores. And they're actually doing these celebratory dances. And what they're doing is they're mocking you. They're mocking you because she doesn't work and she's taking money from you. She's a moocher. Like, yes, I said it, a moocher. And she's taking money, stealing money from you, the hardworking American people. And she is buying some of the most unhealthy food for her children. It's unbelievable. People are really starting to get fired up over all of this stuff. But I know that there was a movement afoot, and you might remember this. Back in the day, when you were on food stamps, you literally had to use food stamps. They were like, there was this currency. I mean, it almost looked like dollar bills, but clearly it wasn't. They were much larger. And so you had to pay for them. And now you get this thing that looks like a credit card. And they did that intentionally because they wanted to take away the stigma of being on food stamps. Well, look, the whole point of being on food stamps is it is a stigma, right? Because you don't want to be on food stamps. You've been through something in your life. You need a little helping hand to get you over this difficult period of time. And then you get off of food stamps and then you go on with your life. But that's not what's happening. And it's not just food stamps. Now, according to the state of California, you want to go to Popeyes or Burger King or McDonald's, you can actually use your food stamps. They've got big, huge signs at all the fast food restaurants. Now, my question is, if you're on food stamps, what makes you think it's okay for you to go to a fast food joint? You can't afford it. That's why you're on food stamps. And a lot of people, including the religious community now, are saying, well, who are you to judge those people? Who are you to say it's wrong for somebody on food stamps to go and eat at McDonald's? Well, number one, it's not healthy. And number two, you can't afford it because you're using my money. It's unbelievable. We've got a story coming up of a grocery store cashier, and she's exposing a lot of the stuff that she sees from her vantage point because she actually gets to see the accounts of these people on food stamps, including, are you ready for this? Illegal aliens. That's right. Illegals are getting food stamps in America. All right. Our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. And a lot of folks are really, really fired up over how many people are currently getting taxpayer assistance. Now, we may slip up and some people call it government assistance. No, this is coming from the taxpayers. You ready for this? Nearly one in three Americans participate in at least one government assistance program. That translates to nearly 100 million people getting some form of aid. And they call this the social safety net. Now, I want to be I'm a compassionate person, ladies and gentlemen, and I think there are people out there who truly need help, and we ought to help those people. I think that the churches across America have done a lousy job of following the teachings of Christ on this matter, because the churches are the ones that are supposed to be helping those in need, not the government. But the churches aren't doing the job they were supposed to be doing, so the government steps in and, well, you know, the rest is, it's a mess. It's a big mess. You've got generations of families living in public housing. That was never meant to be. And by the way, you've got a lot of people that don't seem to mind it. And we saw that during the China virus. Remember that? When people were literally getting paid to stay at home, and how many conservatives were saying, whoa, Nelly, hold on a second here. This is not going to end well. So here's my take on it. And if you are an able-bodied person and you're getting food stamps, your butt needs to be working somewhere. Congresswoman Nancy Mace was talking about this just a few moments ago, cut number 17.
So I was just going to ask you about the bill, the work requirements. Uh-huh. Democrats are upset about it. Why do you think someone who's able-bodied, under 65, a worker, should their Medicaid bills be covered by taxpayers?
No, if you're able, my policy is if you're an able-bodied worker, get a damn job. You want government benefits, go to work and get a job. Period. The Democrats are freeloaders. They want free government stuff for people to keep them poor, keep them uneducated, and keep them Democrat.
And they're saying that too many people are going to get thrown off of Medicaid if these work requirements
go through. We can't even throw off illegals off of Medicaid right now. That should be our number one priority. And if they go to work and get a job, maybe they won't need all those government benefits.
Amen, sister. I like the way Nancy Mace is thinking on this one. What about you? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Let's go to Gwen, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920 in the Houston area. Hi, Gwen. What say you?
Todd, thank you for taking my call. When I heard what you say, it hit to the nail, because mostly Democrats, the ones that hang out, most of older people that I know, they couldn't afford to buy food. They have to eat some dog food that I know of, because they have to have medication. They have to do without the food. But these people, like Nancy Mace talking about, you healthy, you strong, get your ass, get a job. I am come here, immigration, I come legally. But illegal do not deserve a dime, because they do not pay a one penny taxes. They don't deserve nothing, zero. I subs against it. I believe the walk to get somewhere in life. I come here, I got $100 bill in my pocket. The end 2016, because I walked to job, I end up on the business. I spoke to you a couple months ago. I end up on the business. I have 10 employees. I end up making millions of million dollars. You can. And I only have high school education.
Now, Gwen, I remember you calling in a few weeks back, and we just had a wonderful conversation. I want you to tell our listeners where you came from, what country you came from.
I am come from Vietnam in 1974.
So you came over, and there were a lot of refugees coming over into the United States, and you said you had, what, $100 in your pocket?
Correct.
Wow.
And there's a lot of things we can't afford. But I always do believe you go to work, you will get something in life. Like I say, I own the business. I have 10 employees. I work 7 days a week. We open Monday to Sunday. I'm not afraid to go to work. Most of people hang out asking for money. They have no shame. I do. I have never asked government to give me a dime. I believe that there's an opportunity here. You can go get the job. But mostly, the Democrats taught them everything for free. So they're getting used to that. Haven't you seen most of Vietnamese stand in line waiting for food, Sam?
No.
Not that I know of.
No, you don't. You sure don't. Gwen, what kind of a business do you have?
You know, we own a lot of what's it called, FRC clothes. We contract with a lot of, like, ExxonMobil, Chevron, Lindell, people at the plant worker.
And you provide uniforms for them.
Correct. Correct.
Wow.
And it's a business. Wonderful. My husband's sick. 2016, I have to give up my business so I can take care of him. Otherwise, I probably still have the business. But I had it for 23 years.
Wow. Wow. Gwen, you are an American success story. And I'm with you. It angers me. You know, I'm a small business owner. In addition to, you know, doing this talk show, I own a radio station. And you know what that means? 7 days a week. You know, after church, come on down to the radio station, take care of business. You got to do what you got to do to make it in this life, and you got to work hard. And that's one of the things my parents instilled in me as a child is you better work your butt off because nobody's giving you anything free.
That my mom, my dad taught me that. And, you know, it's, I know a lot of American employees work for me. They always told me I ought to be proud of. She said that the most American people born and raised here, they couldn't do what you did. They don't want it to. And that's the most, my friend become, you know, they work for me, become my good friend. They always told me that. She say that because they don't want it to, because there's an opportunity out there. Here's the bottom line. It's illegal. Do not deserve one single penny from American taxpayer. It just chopped me, Todd. It really is make me angry. And here's another thing I want to tell to a lot of liberals. If so, just your entire America, I don't know, I'm supposed to say that. Get your ass, go back where you belong. I will buy you one-way airline ticket I will pay for.
Gwen, I love you. May I ask you a question? Do you have a copy of my book, Star Spangled Blessings, yet, Gwen?
No, not yet, but my husband loved to read. But see, here's the thing, Todd. I don't know how to go online. We don't even have computer.
No worries. You know what? We're going to do it the old school way. I'm going to mail you a copy of my book, Gwen. So here's what we're going to do. When you and I get finished, hang on, and Miss Cassie will pick up the phone, and we're going to get your address, and we're going to send you. You know what, Cassie? Let's send them Twilight's Last Gleaming, too. So we're going to send you a couple of books, Gwen, if that's okay.
Yes, sir, because my husband and I love to read. I am 100% it's America. I live, I breathe. I just love this
country.
Oh,
I know you do.
I don't know how the people, it's such an anti-America. It just hurts me. It really is.
Gwen, I want you to hold on, and God bless you, and thank you for listening to Patriot Talk 920. Those are great American patriots over there, and we're going to put you on hold. Our good buddy Noah Britt down at WPMO Country in Pascagoula says, dang, girl, don't hold anything back. Way to go, Gwen. I like Gwen. She's a great American patriot. And those are the kinds of immigrants that we want and we need in this country. Because, you see, those are the kinds of immigrants who built this country and instilled a hard work value and work ethic in this country. Let's go to Angie in South Carolina. Hi, Angie. What did you think about old Gwen?
Oh, she's amazing. And I have to say that's what our, how can I say, that was the beginning of the U.S., people that worked hard. So she's just proving that if you work hard, you're going to get ahead in life. But I want to tell you, there is a scripture where it says, if you're not, well, I'll just read it to you. It's 2 Thessalonians 3:10, and it says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So, right there, God's saying, you better work or you're not going to be eating. Can I say two other things as well?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I think these are off the subject that that when the ice go in, they should have a sniper checking out everything behind them. There should be, you know, backup. Let me put it that way. Because this is crazy, these strong men who are putting their lives out there are getting shot at and killed. And so this is where they need to protect those that are protecting us or helping our country. Also, I guess those were the two things I did want to say.
Well, let me say this about the ICE agents. And we've had so many that have come under attack. And there are Democrats out there who are, we're talking congressional Democrats, and they are literally calling for blood. This is a dangerous thing. And Angie, I'm with you. I think we ought to be doing whatever we can to protect these Border Patrol agents, these ICE agents, their families. And that's what the Democrats are hoping for and wanting. They're wanting their own Democrats, their own people, to go out there and try to instigate some sort of an armed conflict so they can then turn around and use that and say, oh, these people are gunning down Americans in the streets. That's where all of this is going, by the way.
Well, that might be the case, but you need to be protected.
Yep. Absolutely.
You can't just send out these men, women, whatever, to do their jobs and then not know whether they're going to be dead by nighttime or not. It's nuts.
Yeah. All right, Angie, got to leave it there, but thank you for calling in. And by the way, I do want to share this info with you. President Trump yesterday evening after our show, and you folks were pretty fired up about this, the president announced that he will not be moving forward with any sort of an amnesty plan for the illegals. And that is huge news. And the only reason the White House backed up on that, it's not over, but they've backed up for now. There's going to be a big push to give these illegals amnesty in the farming industry and leisure, the industry and service industry. But right now, you guys, thanks to your efforts, you won the day yesterday. Well done to our great audience. Well done. All right. Wow. All right. Want to play some audio here as we go to break. This is a woman who is very upset. And you're going to love this. She's upset because they've lowered her food stamps, how much she gets. Cut number two.
Oh, my God. What me and my kids going to do? I only got $60 in my food. They cut my food stamps to $60. What me and my kids gonna do? Like, that's crazy. I looked at my thing. It say $60. What is that? I got about six kids. What is that gonna do, $60? Like, you got to be kidding me right now. Like, I am so tight right now. I really is pissed off. Pissed off. Like, and my public housing, like, what I'm finna do? I done got an eviction letter. Like, what am I finna do? I was living 3 years rent free. Like, you got to be kidding me. Like, what am I supposed to do now?
Well, I have a couple of suggestions, and I suspect you might as well, ladies and gentlemen. I'll share my suggestions, but what do you think this woman ought to do? She says that she doesn't have any way to feed her kids now, and she's about to be homeless. What do you recommend this grown, able-bodied woman do? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Where was that information? I was looking. Oh, yes. Here we go. All right. We'll find it here shortly. Here we go. Sorry, I have like 78 tabs opened up on my laptop here. According to the U.S. Census, and these are fascinating numbers, 13.7% of the total population received SNAP benefits. That's all the way back in 2015. Among those receiving, you're talking about any sort of aid, whether it's a reduced price lunch, school lunch, whatever, 69.6% of American households. That's untenable, ladies and gentlemen. That's just simply untenable. And as far as the lady goes, who's having trouble, she's got six kids. She's got probably, I don't know how many baby daddies are involved in that. I don't know. But clearly she's a single mom. She's got six kids living rent-free on government benefits, and she doesn't know what to do. Ma'am, I have two suggestions. Keep your pants on and get a job. It really is that simple. And for those of you who might be saying, well, that's insensitive. She's got six kids. That's not my problem. Nobody forced her to jump into the sack and have sex and go out there and have all these kids. Have a little bit of self-control and discipline in your life. And it's not the fault of the hardworking American people that your lazy behind is sitting in a public housing project somewhere. That's not our fault. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5. Oh, you know what? We're gonna hold Jimmy over until the break. My apologies there. Dylan keeping me honest with the clock. But I'm telling you, folks, I get riled up over this because a lot of people are out there working their butts off. People like Sweet Gwen from Houston, Texas, who came here as an immigrant, a refugee, became an American citizen, $100 in her pocket, and she started her own business. Those are the people we ought to be talking about. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Don't forget, head over to toddstearns.com. Be sure to download our free podcast and newsletter, and be sure to get a copy of my brand-new book. It's called Star-Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. We'll be right back. All right, I want you to listen to this grocery store cashier. She was checking out an illegal alien in Springfield, Ohio, and they had the EBT card, and they got the balance, all right? So I want you to listen to this. This is a hardworking American woman right here, cut number four.
Point that when I worked at the grocery store and I cashed them out, the receipts were alarming. $13,000 on EBT food, not including the $29,000 that was on EBT cash.
They had $30,000 on their EBT cash balance left. Yes. And as a cashier, you can see that.
Yes.
And you're like, you have $30,000 on...
It's infuriating.
On one person's car.
It's infuriating. Yes, sir.
So they're not getting $600
a month. And while they're dressed very well, how are you able to dress like that? Coming over here as running for help that we're supposedly helping them? How are you dressed like that when we, the American people, are scrapping for the next set of work boots? That's a problem. That's a serious problem.
It is a serious problem. Dylan, you know, when I learned something as a child. I was a young kid, probably in junior high school, when I figured out what was up. I went on a mission trip. And I know that you go on mission trips to other countries, right? But we went on a mission trip to like New Orleans or somewhere. It was in the United States. And for me as a junior hire, that's a foreign country. You know what I mean?
That's fair. Yeah.
Okay. So because they're eating weird stuff, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, why are we eating what we would normally step on, you know, back home in Mississippi? So anyway, I realized right away because our church youth group, we were going down to help the poor people in New Orleans, right? And that was a noble cause. So we go down there, and it took me all of 30 seconds as an eighth grader to realize, holy crap, the poor people in New Orleans live better than we do back home.
Mm.
What's up with that?
A wild reality.
It's hard to share the gospel when they've got a big flat screen TV going and, you know, a brand new car in the driveway and they're wearing better clothes than we are. I thought for a minute, maybe they're the ones that ought to be doing the missionary work. Like, what the hell is this all about? We would talk about it. The kids, you know, we all knew, you know, our leaders, you know, they were like, oh, now, we shouldn't judge. Oh, yeah, I'm judging. I want that video game console. How did they afford that? I guarantee you, you talk to any, if you have been on a Baptist church youth mission trip, you probably turned out conservative because you know exactly what I'm talking about. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Jimmy in Pensacola, Florida, along the beautiful Gulf of America. Hi, Jimmy. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Love the show. I wanted to say something that I haven't heard one person mention, and millions of people are doing this. I see it every day. I work with him. He's got a really good job, making really good money. She works at McDonald's. They have 3, 4, 5 kids, whatever. The secret is they don't get married. So she's getting tens of thousands of dollars every year plus income tax where they get $7,000 a kid. How's the government do something about that?
It's a great question, Jimmy, and you're right. People are gaming the system, and a lot of these women out there are having children just for the paycheck.
Right. I mean, they come out of the Dollar General with a whole buggy full of junk paid for with an EBT and hopping a Ford F-150 brand new. You know, they're living the dream.
You got that right, and we're having to pay for it, and it's a nightmare.
Yeah, I've scratched my head for years, and I'm like, how does the government do something about that? Because they can't. There's really no way they can.
Well, Jimmy, the first thing they're doing is getting all the illegals off of the welfare stuff, which is huge. I mean, that's a huge number. But then they're going to have to go back in, and we're going to have to address this problem. This is an American issue. We got a bunch of lazy people that are living off of the hard workers of America. We just got to put a stop to it. It's going to be ugly. It'll be nasty, but we got to do it, and we're just going to have to take a stand, and there's got to be some sort of a work component. If you're getting government assistance, your butt's going to be working. So it doesn't matter if it's picking up trash alongside the roadway, or maybe filling potholes. Lord knows we need that around Memphis.
All right. Thank you, Todd. Love the show.
Hey, thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate that call. Let's go to Jackson, Tennessee. Danny. Hi, Danny. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. You brought that up about the lady who had all the children and it wasn't your fault. Well, we can blame that on, I think it was at LBJ that started the affirmative action program, and he started paying for unwed mothers who had children, and you got so much per child. Well, you know, that's inciting them to go ahead and have more and more of them. And then they turn around and they get the other EBT cards. They pull up to a grocery store in a new Jaguar or BMW. They go in, they load up the groceries, go back out. Then they go to the Interfaith Association for the free meals that they get during the day on Monday through Friday. And it's got to stop. We just cannot keep supporting this.
No, sir, we cannot, and we should not have to. And that's the problem, is that we are living as taxpayers well beyond our means, and then you've got a bunch of freeloaders, and by a bunch, I mean one out of every three Americans is on some form of government assistance. That's insanity, and we just can't do it. We just can't do it. Danny, thank you for that call, and thank you for listening today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, we've been talking about chaos, global chaos, especially in the Middle East. By the way, things are not looking good between the United States and Russia right now. President Trump says we're going to be sending more military gear and equipment to Ukraine. That's not good. As a matter of fact, a Russian jet just buzzed one of our U.S. jets earlier today. Insane. All that to say that we got a lot of unrest, and you know what happens. It means the stock market's all over the place, and your IRA is in hot water. So here's the deal. We've got to make sure that you are diversifying your retirement and savings plans. And you can do that by checking out my friends at Vault U.S. Gold. Vault U.S. Gold, they are premier experts in protecting retirement savings with gold and silver IRAs. They've got a top-rated team, and they make rolling over very fast and easy. And they're going to give you a shield against all this economic chaos out there. Nothing wrong with being invested in the stock market, but you don't want to invest everything, right? You want to diversify. And that's where Vault U.S. Gold and their know-how is going to keep you and your future on solid ground. So here's what I want you to do. Only one thing today is get a free gold guide, right? They're going to send you a free guide to show you how all this works. So give them a call, 833-511-4653. That's 833-511-4653, or you can go online, vaultusgold.com/Todd Stearns. That's vaultusgold.com/Todd Stearns, and you'll be able to get that free guide. So yesterday, on this program, we caused a massive flood of phone calls. We're putting together, compiling a list of the top films of all time, and many of you were calling in from all over the country, and you were talking about your favorite films. And so Dylan gave us a lot of his favorites, and we did not have time to get to Miss Cassie, who has compiled her own list. And Cassie, I just want to tell you that Dylan has been very judgmental about your list of movies, and I hope you haven't taken that personally.
No, I haven't taken it personal.
I would,
because
I would take it personally.
Off air.
Yes.
He's told me that he secretly watches these movies too, and he likes them.
He watches chick flicks?
Yes.
I am shocked.
I call them sleepover movies.
Oh, gosh. That's even worse. All right. So you have some favorite movies.
Yes.
I'm all ears.
I have some of them broken down into categories, but Parent Trap, probably my top favorite movie.
Is that the Disney, the original Parent Trap or the modern version of it?
The original.
All right. I'm digging it.
It's a classic twin switcheroo movie. And actually, the mom in that movie, she was modeled after Princess Diana.
So you're thinking, there was a 1998 remake. That's the one you're thinking about, right? Because there's like a 1961, that was the original version.
Well, this one's original to me.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my Lord. All right, so the Parent Trap, so the modern version of the Parent Trap movie. All right,
the modern original.
All right. Jeez. All right, what's your next favorite?
Okay, same theme, Princess Diaries 2.
Oh, Lord.
The mom is also modeled after Princess Diana, so there's a running theme.
So not Princess Diaries. There was a number one. Is that true? Is that true?
There was a one.
Okay, and now.
But the second one is better.
I see.
You get to see the behind the scenes of her princess life. So I feel like that's better.
All right, I'm catching a theme here. What's number three?
All right. Do you want my Disney movies or my action comedies?
Well, it's your list. So okay. What do you recommend?
Well. Let me do my action comedy movies. Scott Pilgrim versus the World. It's really funny. Free Guy. There's a lot of action in that one. The Lego Movie.
The Lego Movie.
It's really good. It's funny. All the Jumanji movies, including the original Robin Williams one. All of them. Even with the Dwayne The Rock Johnson, they're all pretty good.
I will say I did see the only – none of those movies are anywhere on any of my list, except for I would go with Jumanji. I love Jumanji, the original. It was really fun. And that was a unique movie, a very clever movie at the time.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a common ground. Spider-Man Far From Home. Pretty Dylan likes this one with me.
May I just say, I'm finding the Spider-Man movies to be a little tedious. I don't know why. I mean, I like Tom Holland. Well,
yeah, Tom Holland.
The Andrew key factor. Andrew Garfield was kind of, it was too emotional for me.
Well, the only one I like is the Tom Holland one.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, all right, so we have common ground there.
I could do a rapid fire of my favorite Disney movies.
Good Lord, Cassie, how many movies do you have?
I have a few more.
All right, go ahead and rattle them off.
Okay, Moana, Lilo and Stitch, Over the Hedge, and Ratatouille.
Oh, Ratatouille. Oh, geez. You see,
anyone can cook.
All right, let me say this. Ben Dieter, the late Ben Dieter, he's still alive, but not with our show. He's on Capitol. He is a huge, what is that, Lilo and Smitch or Midge or whoever?
Stitch.
Stitch, yes. He's a huge Lilo and Stitch fan.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
it's the little alien guy.
Oh, they're aliens. Are they legal? Do we know?
No, they're illegal.
Okay. All right. Well, Cassie, we will include, sir, I like Jumanji, and we'll do the Spider-Man movie. I like that. We got to throw. We'll do the Parent Trap because that's a great classic.
Love that.
All right, so we've got three selections. I like that. All right, thank you, Cassie. All right, we got to. Oh, geez, we got to take a quick break here. What are you shaking your head for, Dylan?
These are all time movies of all time.
I know. I'm trying to be kind.
I do watch the movies.
At least you didn't say what's the Barbie.
The Barbie
movie. The Barbie movie.
That would have thrown me off.
I would have had her go stand in the corner for that. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, we got to give a big shout out to Benjamin Chang, his family, Shelley Chang. They're great listeners and fans of the show and good friends as well. And tonight, it's pretty exciting. The whole family is going to be in Chicago for the National Touring Company of Beauty and the Beast. And Benjamin is going to be one of the stars of that big nationwide North American tour. So congratulations, Benjamin. And we wish the Chang family nothing but the best. And I am telling you, Memphis, Tennessee, home to some of the most incredible musical talent in America right here. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Carrie in Memphis wants to weigh in on the Parent Trap. Hi, Carrie. What's going on?
As y'all were talking about the remake of the Parent Trap, I was thinking, which remake are y'all talking about? Y'all talking about the one with Lindsay Lohan, or y'all talking about the one with the Olsen twins?
Wait, were the Olsen twins in the Parent Trap?
Yes, there is one with the Olsen twins.
I had no idea. I'm talking about the one with Haley Mills, and that's from, 1961? That's the original.
That's the original, yeah. But in a rare instance, I like both of the remakes better.
Well, that's okay. Well, this is interesting.
That's highly unusual for me, but.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So every now and again, they'll do a remake, but I'm always a sucker for the old original films. And so good old Haley Mills. Haley Mills, here's a little bit of trivia for you. Anybody remember Saved by the Bell? Haley Mills was the teacher in Saved by the pilot episode of Saved by the Bell. Hey, Carrie, thank you for calling in. Let's try to work in Bill from Cordova, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAN. That's the OG Bill. Hey, Bill, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, everything's just dandy. How about you?
Pretty good. What's going on?
I was listening to your whole conversation about AFDC and all that, and I think I've mentioned to you before I'm writing a book. This is a whole section in chapter one of my book concerning how AFDC was developed, what it was used for, and what's wrong with it. And what happened was, Todd, when they created the AFDC in 1964, they didn't put any conditions on it that said your kids have to get an education or you have to get a job or job training, and you can't get caught with weapons, tobacco, alcohol, or firearms in school, or your parents lose their money. There was no conditions put on that except for you can't get married. And that destroyed the African-American community family, and it's just a nightmare. We're feeling so many effects of that today with things like gangs and other social problems that we have, like some of the ones that some of your callers mentioned. And it's horrible what the Democrats did with this legislation. And to make matters worse, Todd, they did it for votes. Lyndon Johnson said when he signed that bill, and I'm not going to use the N-word, but it's an expletive.
No, and we're not going to use that N-word. But let me say this because our time's going to run out. I do want to correct you on one thing, Bill. When you're looking at welfare recipients, and we haven't said anything about race at all, 43% of people getting welfare are white people. White people. So that's just, again, this is an American problem. And you're right about LBJ, but we've got to run there, Bill. Appreciate the call. Folks, thank you. We'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. This is the Todd Stern Show. Be good, America.